When considering a person's overall health,
the status of your oral health is really directly related to your overall health. So if you have poor oral health, it can exacerbate issues that can impact the rest of your overall health if your oral health is not kept in good shape.
However, many face barriers in achieving and maintaining oral health.
If you are not able to function, eat, and relate to individuals around you, your quality of life will be impacted because you need your dentition to chew, to be able to smile, to be able to have self-esteem. All of this is critical.
Open wide as we discover oral health and oral health disparities inside this edition of CTSI Discovery Radio. Welcome to CTSI Discovery Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bellmer. CTSI Discovery Radio is brought to you by the Clinical and Translational Science Institute of Southeast Wisconsin. The CTSI is a consortium of researchers, doctors, scientists, and others representing 8 institutions, including the Medical College of Wisconsin, Milwaukee School of Engineering, Marquette University, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Children's Wisconsin, Frederick Hospital, Versity Blood Center of Wisconsin, and the Zablocki VA Medical Center. The CTSI works collaboratively across all of our member institutions. Our mission is advancing health through research and discovery. Achieving and maintaining good oral health requires daily action and attention. Everyone, adults and children, need oral health to have overall health because they're connected in so many critical ways. Now, you may think you know the steps for good oral health. Maybe you do. But it never hurts to review, and who knows, you may just discover something new about maintaining healthy teeth and gums. Here to help us better understand our oral health is Matt Crespin, Executive Director of Children's Health Alliance of Wisconsin.
We are affiliated with Children's Wisconsin. Our organization falls within the community health and education arm of the hospital. And so while we don't provide any direct service, our role is really to bring organizations together, to put together programs, to change policy, to work with partners to improve the health of kids across the entire state of Wisconsin.
Children's Health Alliance of Wisconsin does all of this through a variety of initiatives
that range from things like oral health, asthma, injury prevention. We connect kids that might have special health care needs to medical homes. We work in the emergency care space, and we are also doing some work around food security. So we are a bit like a backbone organization that helps bring a variety of partners together around a common mission, whether that be putting in place programs or changing policies to increase access. Our goal overall is to improve the health of kids.
One area of focus is dental and oral health, which is an important component of our overall health.
You know, at some point in time, the care of our oral cavity got separated from the care of the rest of our bodies. But when it comes to oral health, the status of your oral health is really directly related to your overall health. So if you have poor oral health, it can exacerbate issues that can impact the rest of your overall health if your oral health is not kept in good shape.
So if you have poor oral health, say, for example,
dental disease in the form of dental decay or a cavity where a bacteria has started to eat away at the tooth and can get into the middle part of your tooth where your bloodstream and nerves are. People have ended up in emergency rooms to have surgery or have even passed away because a bacteria spreads to their lungs or spreads to their brain and does eventually cause death. All because of a preventable dental issue that could have been solved with less than $100 worth of care provided by a dental office. So it's a very important thing to keep in check and keep in control.
Which means the need to focus on good oral health begins, well,
it's critical critically important as early as age one that children receive a first dental checkup, partly because if you look in particular at young children ages 0 to 5, we found that those children ages 0 to 5 who were enrolled in Medicaid, there are nearly 100,000 of them in the state of Wisconsin that visit their physician every year for routine care, but do not actually encounter a dental provider at all.
Creating a critical window of opportunity for
dental care to be integrated into medical care, because patients are already accessing that service on a pretty regular basis, as early as 6 months old, and really as early as right after birth. The first tooth erupts in the mouth at about 6 to 12 months, and that's a critically important time to have that first dental encounter. And unfortunately, in many cases, that doesn't occur till ages 3, 4, 5, and sometimes even later when disease has already exhibited in the mouth. So age one dental visits are key.
Once dental visits do begin, how often is it recommended that a person has checkups to ensure good dental health?
As a young child, the recommendation is every 6 months. As you start to get older, that can really change. There are some people that need to come in for regular dental visits every 3 to 4 months. There are probably instances where people may not need to come in every 6 months, but maybe every 8 to 12 months. It's really hard to say what that exact regimen should be for each patient, but it's really a decision that the dental provider and patient make based on the individual patient's needs.
When someone does go, what should the patient expect during a routine dental checkup?
Typically, when a patient visits the dentist, they're going to spend probably 90% of that time with a dental hygienist. Dental hygienists are really prevention specialists, and not just cavities, but more so gum disease. So a patient might have an exam by a dentist. They likely would have some x-rays taken so that they can diagnose any hard tissue disease or loss of bone, any teeth that might have decay or cavities in them.
That visit also often includes
taking measurements of the bone level around the tooth that keeps it stable and keeps it in place. We'll determine if any of the gum tissue around the teeth are diseased or need maybe some additional care. And then we'll be removing deposits built up on the teeth as a result of lack of ongoing home care and home care instruction tailored to each individual patient to keep their mouth healthy when they're at home.
Speaking of home care, what are the best practices to achieve and maintain good oral health? When it comes to brushing,
with toothbrushing, there's a pretty easy thing to remember. It's 2 times a day for 2 minutes. And the best suggestion I can give you is using a soft bristle toothbrush. I love using electric toothbrushes. I think they take a lot of the guesswork out of brushing. Many of them will tell you if you're brushing too hard. Many of them have timers built into them that will help tell you when to move to different parts of your mouth or if you brush for 2 minutes. And brushing for 2 minutes with a soft bristle brush is the best approach.
And make sure to use
fluoridated toothpaste. Even young children should be using fluoridated toothpaste.
But Matt advises
the vast majority of the public probably uses too much toothpaste. For very young children, 0 to 4 years old, they should be using a very small smear the size of a grain of rice, so a very, very small amount. As they get a little bit older, they should use about a pea-sized amount, and that really should continue until you're an adult to help apply that important fluoridated toothpaste to the teeth, which helps to prevent dental disease.
What about flossing? How vital is it?
Some sort of interdental cleaning is important. So whether that is using dental floss, interdental cleaners, or even using something like a water flosser or even air flossing, any sort of interdental cleaning is important. Your brush can only get to so many of the surfaces in your mouth. Making sure that you're able to get in between those teeth with some form of interdental cleaning is helpful.
What about mouthwash? Can using it promote good oral health?
There certainly can be something well beyond just the vanity piece of using a mouthwash. And there's different types of mouthwashes. There's rinses for pediatric patients to deliver some additional fluoride to help prevent disease, and rinses that have antibacterial and antimicrobial properties in them. Some of those rinses kill and reduce some of the bacteria causing gum disease.
Of course, what we eat can impact our oral health. But Matt says, don't be too hard on yourself.
With eating an oral health, there's sometimes this misnomer that anything with sugar is bad. And I would just say that everything in moderation, like with anything in your diet, is important.
So when you do eat something, say sugary,
we would tell you as a dental provider is if you're eating or drinking something that has that really high level of sugar in it, you'd be better off to sit down and drink an entire soda in 15, 20 minutes than it would be to consume a 12-ounce soda over the course of 2 to 3 hours, because you're constantly exposing those teeth to that high level of cavity-causing sugar.
Speaking of drinking, we must also consider
the importance of drinking water, and in particular, water that is fluoridated. Community water fluoridation is one of the top public health achievements of the 20th century.
Now, I know what you might be thinking, but don't believe everything you hear.
Unfortunately, because of a variety of misinformation campaigns, fluoridated water has gotten a little bit of a bad rap, and none of the research supports the misnomers that are put out about fluoridated water. Fluoridated water is really a critically important piece to preventing dental disease. In fact, communities that don't fluoridate their water see up to 25% higher levels of dental disease than those that fluoridate.
Because when you look at the science,
all water has fluoride in it naturally. Fluoride is a naturally occurring mineral. Lake Michigan is naturally fluoridated at a level of 0.2 parts per million. And so, for example, if you live in the city of Milwaukee or any of the communities that surround us, they change that level of fluoridation up to 0.7, and that has been found to optimally protect our teeth from developing dental disease as well.
And throughout the state of Wisconsin,
85 to 88% of the communities that have a community drinking source are fluoridating their water at an optimum level to protect our teeth.
If you want to learn more about community water fluoridation,
there's a great website, and it's called ilikemyteeth.org.
There are other things that can compromise good dental health, such as using our teeth inappropriately.
Your teeth are meant to chew food, not open up beer bottles or bite open packaging. It's certainly something we all catch ourselves doing from time to time, but you can certainly cause damage to those teeth. Enamel, which surrounds the outside of the teeth, is one of the strongest parts of our entire body, but it can only withstand so much trauma, so you do want to be careful.
Something else that can compromise oral health, use of tobacco products.
Tobacco products are a high contributor to periodontal disease. The other thing that is a real concern in the oral cavity is oral and pharyngeal cancer. It is quite a prevalent issue, and it oftentimes goes undiagnosed until it's very late. And when it's noticeable in the mouth, it's at a stage that can sometimes be hard to reverse or hard to even treat that. So not just smoking cigarettes, but also chewing tobacco, exposing the mouth to tobacco, and even consuming overabundance of alcohol can expose the mouth and the tissues around it to oral and pharyngeal cancer.
Perhaps the most common dental concern most of us have are cavities. What happens to a tooth when a cavity occurs?
When a cavity occurs on a tooth, primarily there's a couple different components required in order to develop dental disease.
Those two components, bacteria and time.
If you don't have that bacteria in the mouth and you are exposing it to sugars, you may not actually develop dental disease. But once that bacteria is in your mouth, it can certainly turn into dental disease when it's exposed to sugars, when it's exposed over longer periods of time, and when it's not removed mechanically, either by you at home or by a dental provider. So there's a couple things that all come together in order for that to contribute to a cavity.
But unlike many diseases, cavities and dental disease are things we can prevent with proper focus.
Poor home care probably is the biggest contributor, but just thinking about those longer-term exposures or simple changes that people can make, good home care is really the key, though.
Many people experience tooth sensitivity. What are common causes for this?
Oftentimes as a result of either brushing too hard or grinding their teeth at night, they can actually expose a part of the tooth that is not covered by enamel. It's covered by dentin, which is 50% more porous. That area is going to be much more prone to sensitivity if you eat or drink something that's hot or cold.
Another cause of tooth sensitivity.
If you have a tooth that has a filling in it, that filling can develop small microfractures or cracks. hot and cold changes getting in those areas or chewing down can also cause some sensitivities.
Equally important to healthy teeth, healthy gums.
When people have poor health in their gums, they will develop early on what we would refer to as gingivitis, where maybe your gums bleed a little bit when you brush. That's a reversible process that can be treated with really good home care.
But when it advances to a stage of periodontal disease,
that's when you start to see loss of bone, and it can actually be difficult to stop that process without a non-surgical or potentially a surgical treatment if it gets to be really bad. But again, good home care will prevent that.
So brush, floss, and don't forget, your dentist is your friend, not someone to be feared.
And if you are seeing a dental provider that doesn't make you feel welcomed or doesn't make you feel comfortable, I think it's in your best interest to find one that makes you feel that way.
And even with the right dentist,
you should ask a lot of questions. And I think being able to do that requires ongoing dialogue between both the patient and the provider.
Oral health and access to dental care are often taken for granted. But we as individuals and as communities are not fully healthy without both. Unfortunately, there are very real challenges in many communities toward achieving oral health and access to care. And no one knows this better than Dr. Christopher Okunseri, professor of dentistry and director of the predoctoral program in dental public health at Marquette University. Former U.S. Surgeon General C. Everett Koop once said, "You're not healthy without good oral health," which Dr. Okunseri says,
"I can honestly tell you that was a very true statement he made. And the next Surgeon General, David Satcher, actually took on oral health as a prime area of focus. That led to a landmark report, Oral Health in America, a report of the Surgeon General in 2000. That report laid the groundwork and strengthen that connection between oral health and general health."
How does Dr. Okunseri characterize overall dental health across the U.S. today?
Based on my exposure in clinical care and in the research world, the overall health of the United States has improved, but there's still room for improvement. Because while the majority of the population have seen improved oral health, pockets of the population have not enjoyed the same improvement in oral health. That is the picture we are faced with in the United States.
But he adds, there are some noteworthy advancements to recognize.
The whole idea of water fluoridation that have a landmark preventive measure in dental care. In addition to that, there have been more preventive measures that have been actually identified. Today, we talk about fluoride varnish, sevadermin fluoride. All of these measures have been identified to help reduce incidence of dental caries, the most common dental disease that impacts both children and adults across the spectrum.
As well as advancements in dental technology.
Dentistry has also advanced. Today, we talk about taking an impression without using the typical material we put in the patient's mouth, but this time we just put a camera and scan the mouth, and it goes into a system, and we can fabricate a crown, we can fabricate a denture, so that's another improvement.
Not to mention new horizons in dental implants.
So that people who had full dentures can now have what we call implant-retained dentures, and that to me is a big improvement in the world of oral health.
In his expert opinion, what does it mean to have good oral health? There are both physical and psychological components.
Good oral health in and of itself includes being free from oral diseases and being able to function adequately. So in a nutshell, you have an oral cavity that is free from disease, appropriate function. It's what every individual should aspire to have. Functioning oral dentition, free from disease, and being able to achieve appropriate smile and self-esteem.
And our oral health is integral to our overall whole body health.
Remember, the body, in terms of digestion, starts from the mouth. The food goes into the mouth before it gets into the body. So the connection between oral health and the whole body is strong. either from a physiologic standpoint or from a pathologic standpoint, you can see that connection between the oral cavity and the rest of the body.
Because oral health impacts other body parts, it can also have an impact on other medical conditions, such as diabetes.
One area that has really gained a lot of traction is the connection between oral health and diabetes. We have seen a bidirectional relationship between periodontal disease and diabetes. If you can maintain your periodontal health, you can have improved diabetic control. And if you can have improved diabetic control, you can also improve your periodontal health. That's the bidirectional relationship we're talking about.
Additionally, there's scientific evidence oral health can impact
cardiovascular disease. So cardiovascular disease is still ongoing, developing science to tell us more about the strength of this relationship. But where we really have a strong science base is oral health and diabetes.
In women, oral health can even impact pregnancy, specifically
low birth weight or premature birth as well. We've seen a relationship between people who have poor periodontal health having premature births and low birth weight. In addition, when people are pregnant, their gums, oral tissues also get swollen as well. So we need to maintain proper oral health to keep those bugs out of those gum tissues so that they can stay healthy. There's a relationship between oral health and pregnancy, but it should not prevent pregnant patients from going to see the dentist for regular oral health care.
How significantly can a person's oral health impact their quality of life?
There are certain dimensions that we look at when we talk about someone's quality of life. If you are not able to function, eat, and relate to individuals around you, your quality of life will be impacted because you need your dentition to chew, to be able to smile, to be able to have self-esteem. All of this is critical.
And if any of these functions do become jeopardized or impaired,
then your quality of life is in trouble. And so oral health is really important in one's ability to maintain appropriate quality of life.
Beyond our individual health, it's not an overstatement to say one's oral health can impact families.
Poor oral health would impact the individual's ability to seek work. This individual is unable to function as a member of the family unit because of poor oral health.
Even entire communities.
That same individual with a poor oral health might not be able to communicate and contribute freely in society. So there's a societal impact, there's a community impact. Poor oral health impacts every level and needs to be taken seriously.
As with many other diseases, does the burden of oral disease disproportionately impact specific populations?
Yes. That's why we continue to address the whole area of oral health disparities in Wisconsin and globally. Certain populations in the United States are disproportionately affected by the burden of oral disease. Based on research, minority populations, African Americans, Hispanics, Native Americans, people living in rural communities, all of these people are disadvantaged and have high levels of oral health disparities.
And he shares key factors or barriers leading to disparities in oral health.
Access to dental care is one factor. High cost of dental care is another barrier. Transportation, all of these have been identified as potential barriers to accessing dental care, and with inadequate access to dental care, we are perpetuating oral health disparities.
But Dr. Okunseri adds that access to dental care is a complex issue.
Which means we require complex solutions. We cannot fix access to dental care and address disparities with a simple solution. We need to think about complex solutions to address the complex problem of oral health disparities in this country.
For those fortunate to have access to dental care,
please take it very seriously, knowing the following things. One, the connection between oral health and general health. Two, recognize that not everyone in society has that opportunity to have appropriate access to dental care. And recognize that it's important to see your dentist once a year, at the barest minimum, once a year.
For those who do not have access to dental care,
it's important to continue to explore opportunities because some opportunities are available to those with inadequate access, but you have to continue to explore and boundaries to seek access to dental care.
Another part of the problem, dental care's separation from overall health care.
And I say that because, yes, silos have contributed one way or another to oral health disparities, but schools have recognized this and they're working to see how they can fix it with interprofessional education.
He further explains interprofessional education.
We're beginning to work together to reconnect oral health with the rest of the body. In dental schools, people talk about interprofessional education, IPE, where you get dental students, a medical student, a nursing student, a physical therapist, everybody talking together, seeing the benefit of all of these patients because it's important for overall health.
In addition to dental education, what other changes are needed to overcome disparities in oral health?
We need policy change to become more and more aware of the impact of inadequate access and oral health disparities. We need the public to become more aware of the importance of oral health. We need the providers to also become more aware of the inadequate access to dental care in our communities and where they can help to reach the most disadvantaged population so that we can really start addressing oral health disparity and access to care.
Dr. Okunseri isn't only a man of action on the research side, he's also boots to the ground in the community.
Beyond just talking about the problems, I've also been working very hard to address the problem because it's very personal to me.
Which is why he started Dentamed.
Working towards addressing access to dental care and helping to reduce oral health disparity, Dentamed is involved in the provision of preventive services, and they go from school to school to provide preventive care.
At the same time, Dentamed is also out in the community
through the use of a mobile dental van. So they need extractions done, they need some fillings done. These patients are referred to the mobile van, and these patients are so appreciative of this opportunity. It's been a real eye-opener, and without Dentamed and all the programs in Wisconsin.
Because in the absence of programs like Dentamed,
most of these kids will not have adequate or appropriate access to dental care. In some schools, we end up staying 2 weeks. Sometimes we've actually stayed 3 weeks because there's a huge need for secondary care.
You can learn more about Dentamed.
Dentamed has a website, and on the website, at every point in time, you would know where the van is, providing comprehensive dental care to these kids. The website is a good resource for people to look up what Dentamed is doing in the community and where they are at any point in time.
We'll post a link on our CTSI website along with the podcast of this show. Dr. Okunseri's extensive research in the epidemiology of oral conditions, quality of care, and addressing oral healthcare disparities has impacted many.
I'm happy that I have chosen a path that is fulfilling to me. Being able to do what I do, to work for Marquette University School of Dentistry, lots of people have been able to gain access to dental care that they need to function in society.
And bringing a smile to others' faces puts a smile on his own.
And I would hope that everybody listening to this show would recognize the connection between oral health and overall health.
That's all the time we have for this edition of CTSI Discovery Radio. As always, thanks to each of our guests for appearing on today's show, Matt Crespin and Dr. Christopher Okunseri. I hope you've discovered something by listening to today's show, and I'm doubly hopeful you'll join us again next time. CTSI Discovery Radio airs the third Friday of every month. Make an appointment on your calendar and join us for each episode. On behalf of the Clinical and Translational Science Institute of Southeast Wisconsin and all of our affiliate partners and members, I'm Brian Belmer, wishing you happier, healthier days ahead. For more information about research or to listen to the podcast of this or any of our shows on demand, please visit our website at ctsi.mcw.edu. CTSI Discovery Radio is written, produced, and hosted by Brian Belmer in collaboration with WMSE Radio the CTSI, and this program are under the direction of Dr. Reza Shakir.